You are listening to Fanthatrax.
He's waiting.
Classic Star Wars and the collectibles they gave us. From vintage Star Wars to the modern era of the saga. This is Collecting Tracks. Here are your hosts, Richard Hutchinson and Chris Letty.
You're listening to Collecting Tracks. I'm your host for this episode, Mark Newbold. And today we head to MCM Comic Con London, where Hasbro had not only a booth, but also a panel. At the panel was Jing Hall. Jing is the global brand manager for Star Wars Hasbro. And she went over not only the releases from 1027, but some new stuff coming out too. So here's Jing and the Hasbro team talking Star Wars at MCM Comic Con London.
All right, so like I said, we're recapping 1027. Our first reveal from yesterday was a refresh of the Rebel leader that we saw. We all loved Rogue One, right? Like, who loved Rogue One and or Season One? They were great.
Let's hear it for Rogue One.
We know at some point he transitions from the Andor season when we saw a bit of his background into that Rogue One story that we all have come to know and love. So at some point we don't know when that happens, but you know Andor season 2 is in the works. We definitely felt like this was a relevant figure to get back out, especially since he's never had that photoreal deco before. So we just wanted to update him for the fans, keep him relevant. He comes with his weapons that we've had in the past, a multi-part weapon that pulls together. So that was a reveal from yesterday. The other item, moving over to Black Series, was Paz Vizsla, the deluxe figure. We haven't had a Paz Vizsla, a regular Paz Vizsla, in the line for a long time, and he has not come in that new Black Series, or it's not new anymore, that Black Series line look. Which we know, like, fans like to collect that mural side art. So we thought it was important to get him out there, especially because Mando Season 3 wrapped up, and as we, it's not a spoiler anymore, but he had a moment.
A pretty epic finale, we call it, something like that.
Yeah, we'll give the guy some time. He was amazing to watch in Mando Season 3, so we wanted to just get him back out there at his core form. So, of course, he comes with everything that we loved before, all the deco and the large accessory, the large Gatling gun as well, and that mural art as well, that, again, just to get him back into the line look. He's number 36 for Black Series.
I think for a supporting character like Paz, who's so critical to Mando's story, to have him as part of that mural artwork is a really big deal. So I think it's great to have gotten this back out into the line so that when you get to look at that mural artwork on shelf, you see the full collection as it should be.
Yeah, he was a core part of that universe. Okay, our final reveal from yesterday, Mace Windu.
Yeah.
Updated with his clone armor gauntlets, obviously his iconic purple lightsaber. And of his clone, his 187th clone battalion. So that was amazing to get out there with the removable helmet and his weapon as well. Mace has never come in this costume before. So he's updated with his clone armor gauntlets from Clone Wars, the Clone Wars animated series.
Yeah, so we've had Mace in his Jedi offering. I think that actually was a reveal at MCM London Comic Con in 2019, now that I think about it.
Oh my gosh, I don't know.
Which is going back a while.
Yeah.
And then we had him in his the 2D Clone Wars look on the stylized carpet.
Yes, yes.
But to get him here with the clone gauntlets, it's a really great scene from the Clone Wars, I think, Battle on Ryloth, where Mace and the 187th clones liberate that planet. To get that out here is really cool.
Yeah, 187th Clone Battalion. So as we can tell, he's purple here. It matches. You know, they're doing a little match in action with Mace and his lightsaber. But what's also important to note is I know that he was more brown in the animated series, but he's purple in some comics and publishing, and he has come in the 3 3/4 inches purple as well. So we definitely wanted to pay tribute and throw back to that, and we put them together, you know, Mace and his clone, and that double wedge as we see in that specialty card the specialty packaging, so it's great to get that. This is a Pulse and Shop Disney exclusive, available next year, and it is part of a larger Shop Disney program, Clones of the Republic. So definitely stay tuned to Shop Disney next year to find out more. Stay tuned to their programs.
Yeah. One thing to call out here too is I think it's great that we have this particular Clone Trooper body with the removable helmet now to get the actor likeness in there. You know, the more clones with more removable helmets and more options that we have on shelf, it really helps build out the world of the Clone Wars on collector's shelves.
So that was the reveals from yesterday. On to today, we're gonna start with the Vintage Collection. I know there's lots of fans for the Vintage Collection, so we'll start there quickly. We're gonna do a quick reveal, and then we'll get into some other bigger beats as well. Our first reveal for today is Finn. He's a shared, he's from in the Share Fan channel as well. Finn has never before come in the Vintage Collection. So we definitely wanted to get him back out there in that card back, because we know how important it is to our fans to be able to have that like card back. So he's in his Force Awakens costume. We've seen him before in this costume, as well as with his weapon. So it's just, it was important to also, let's take a quick look at the card back.
I love this card back. Love, love, love this card back. I think it's such a great moment for him in the movie. Such a great action beat.
He was ready for action.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I think the photoreal likenesses, it's amazing how far and that technology has come. It is so lifelike. It's amazing.
Yeah, and that's the other thing. He's never had photoreal before. So it was important to update him, get him in that car bag, get him in with the photoreal. And he's VC308 for the fans. So that was a great refresh for us to just get him back out there as well with that card back. All right, before I go into our next set of reveals, I did just want to probably confirm at this point, because fans have started putting the pieces together. We are doing an anniversary beat next year, a little...
Any prequels fans, let's hear it for the prequels.
I mean, Eric and Emily and Chris could not be here, but we all know that there are some hardcore prequel fans, even in the design team.
One of them.
Same. So as we know, next year is the 25th anniversary of Phantom Menace, but let's just take the moment to celebrate the whole three movies, the whole prequels. I know fans are piecing it together. We have some pipelines for it as well. So we definitely just wanted to confirm it's going to be a good year next year for that. So the next couple reveals are tied to the prequels. So we can't celebrate the prequels without just, you know, building out the clones. We've never before had the Phase 1 clone trooper on that new clone body, so we definitely wanted to get that one out there for the Vintage fans. He's VC number 309, another shared fan exclusive. So it's great to get this one out there with his large weapons on the new clone body, especially to celebrate the prequels. He does have a removable helmet, as we see him here, going back to Brandon when you're talking about for the helmets. So it's a great likeness, and it's a great item to just celebrate the prequels.
And it's amazing to get this iconic trooper on this new body, because the range of motion that these characters now have, you can get them in all the poses that you would want for a clone trooper. To be, whether it's using the rifle or the other blaster, you really get to get a whole new range of expression for the clone troopers. So army build these guys. They are absolutely worth it.
Yep. Removable helmet with the likeness underneath. So it's just great to celebrate the prequels with this core foundational character. Okay. Here's a quick look at the car back here.
One of my favorite, if not my most favorite card back ever in the Vintage Collection.
Yeah.
I think that moment from Attack of the Clones is iconic at this point. So yeah, great choice for that Vintage card back there for 309.
Yeah, that is an iconic carbine, like that shot, that visual, yeah. To your point. So that's an amazing item to get out there. So this is a shared fan channel. There's a little bit difference in the different states. Like, so in the UK or Europe in general, it will be shared fan. In the US, it's shared fan plus Amazon. In Canada, it's mainline. And all of the items we're revealing today for Star Wars is being pre-ordered on Monday, the same time as Marvel. So the Disney brands are going out together at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 5 p.m. GMT. So
exactly as Jinx says, 5 p.m. UK time, Hasbro Pulse and the fan channel retailers will be carrying this for pre-order.
Yep. So all the vintage collection figures have all the same detail. All right. We got that out of the way. We have a next review for vintage. In celebrating prequels, there was a character we never got out there before, but so cool that we saw in the same movie as this one. It is Count.
Yeah, let's hear it for Count Dooku.
Dooku. Fans, I hope fans are excited for this, and really they should be, because as we know, Count Dooku won a fan-led vote just this year, actually, and as part of the prequels, we definitely thought it is his moment to shine, it is his moment to come out. As you can see, Count Dooku, he's a fully new tool, and he is a looming presence, as he was in the movies. He comes with his soft goods cape. It's double-sided, as you can see, two-toned. And he has a rope around his neck as well, just to put the cape together for him. He has his lightsaber with that iconic curve. And he's just a great figure to get out there, especially with that photo reel. You get that likeness out there, which is amazing, amazing to see for him.
I think shout out again to Matt Cohen, Shooting the Galaxy, for the work he does posing these figures for the e-com shots here, because especially the one in the middle,
yes.
As soon as I see that, I see that scene,
yes.
Where he's dueling Anakin and,
yes.
and Obi-Wan at the end of Attack of the Clones. And again, I think it really just speaks to how far the vintage collection has come and how posable they are. You can get those really lifelike moments where, you know, that does not look like a toy. That looks like we've shrunk the character down and put him into 3-3.
What compliments. Yeah. And that's the whole point of the vintage collection, really, or any of our collections, really, is we want to be able to, like, build out those scenes with those figures and with that fully new tool as we see here. And yes, shout out to the photographer being able to just, like, move the cape out of the way. Like, that posing is just, like, really, really iconic. What a little bit more, this is not it, about Count Dooku, an iconic scene that we saw when we saw him in Attack of the Clones was the power that he used,
yeah.
Right? So Force Lightning Hands, he also comes with removable Force Lightning Hands. Again, that was such a key moment that we saw in Attack of the Clones, and we just had to get him out here and get him that accessory to go with it.
Because I think at this point in the saga, Dooku is the second character to use Force Lightning in the whole Skywalker saga. So, yeah.
And that was such a key moment that we have to get that out there in the car back as well. So this is VC307, also for Share Fam, same details as I shared before. Share Fam plus Amazon in the U.S., and mainline in Canada. So it's just that card back. It's like, he's zapping me.
It's a pretty electrifying card back.
Okay, all right, I see what you did there. So that was Attack of the Clones. Card back as well. And that's it for the vintage collection reveals for today. But we also wanted Black Series to join in on the fun.
Hi, this is John Morton from The Empire Strikes Back, and you're listening to Fantha Tracks.
So we have a couple of reveals for Black Series as well.
Any Black Series fans in the house? There we go.
All right, so for Black Series, I'm also going to celebrate the prequels with a couple of reveals for this one. You can say she's a queen in her own right. we have Padme Amidala, a brand new tool. She has that PVC skirt that can flex out of the way for her as she poses to help with all her posing needs. And she has two weapons. She actually has her Naboo Royal Pistol and her Royal Accession Gun as well. And for her portrait, this was an earlier model that we shot, so we actually have a more updated model in the booth when you guys come back after the panel that you can see her. We got them like this even down, like down even better, so it's definitely good to stop by the booth and check those out as well. This is also share fanzine details as I shared previously for spring of next year. Here's a couple more shots with that Naboo Royal Pistol. It actually at the tip of the pistol can go in and out, so that helps also. And also the Royal Pistol is a little bit smaller, right? So we gave her all hands to be able to hold that accurately because we know how important that is.
Yeah. It's great to have those extra options for fans that if you wanted to display it with the pistol or the gun, you have the specific molded hand to be able to carry that and carry it well. I think what's great here about Padme too is the ball joint at the waist. It really allows for more dynamic posing, especially given how, I think, iconic again that scene now is at the end of Phantom Menace where Padme and her team are taking out the battle droids on the boot.
Yeah, so having those all hands really just help with the overall
really
posing and playability of the figure as well. All right, with Padme, she's number 3 in the line. We have to get this other figure out there. They just kind of have to go together. We have the young Anakin Skywalker. I hear some excitement over here. You guys like this? We don't have a lot of young children in the line, so it was really great to get this one. I think the last one might have been Bad Batch, right?
Yeah, yeah. Omega. So
Omega yeah.
Season 1 and Season 2.
But it was important to get this one out here. Obviously, it just felt like a gap. We just had to make sure he was out there as to celebrate prequels and the Phantom Menace especially. So he's new tool as well. And what's amazing about this character is he gets that large backpack.
Yeah.
So you can actually take the backpack on and off and you can see that kind of being posed out. Yeah, and to go back to like you were mentioning the photography, you can see it just, Matt Cohen was really able to capture the moment where he was like putting on his backpack and going on his adventures.
Yeah, and as well, like the one on the far right there where he's running from, you know, from his mom, going off with Qui-Gon. I think what's so great about getting this character into the line is that Anakin has such an incredible story, you know, from kid Anakin to Padawan to Jedi Knight, hero of the Clone Wars, and then into the tragic Darth Vader. This is such a pivotal moment for that character at the beginning of his journey throughout the Skywalker saga. So very, very pleased that we were able to get this out into the line.
Yeah, yeah. And like, as a mom, I'm like, run to your mother.
Yes. You didn't want to go.
But we, the story continues. He had his fate. Okay, so it's a great character to get out there to celebrate the prequels, Padme and Anakin. So those are the two Black Series reveals. So he's number 2 in The Phantom Menace.
The likeness here too, like the expression, it just, you know, that pivotal scene, right?
Yeah.
You an angel, like you can just see it on his face. It's brilliant.
And he is just so cute.
Yeah, completely agree.
And the car back, it's a little harder to see here, but the packaging on the side, you can see that mural art.
Yeah.
He's just so adorable.
Yeah.
Such a cute character. Okay, awesome. Moving on to newer entertainment, so pivoting away from prequels, we're going to go into premium roleplay. We have one last reveal here. So for the premium roleplay, moving on to newer entertainment, we have The Mandalorian, obviously. We all love Mandalorian.
Yeah.
It started a new generation.
Yeah. And it's amazing how The Mandalorian has led that new era of storytelling on Disney+. From The Mandalorian Season 1 and 2 to The Book of Boba Fett, Obi-Wan Kenobi, Andor, and of course Ahsoka now as well, right?
Yeah. Yep. So for premium roleplay, we have one reveal today. It's a helmet this time from The Mandalorian. One that I would say started with The Mandalorian. Carson Teva, premium electronic helmet. So this is our X-Wing helmet, but redecoed for Carson Teva, which as we know, I feel like he's been everywhere.
Everywhere. I think he's the only character other than The Mandalorian and Grogu to feature in all three seasons of The Mandalorian, plus The Book of Boba Fett, and now Ahsoka as well.
Yeah, so this is that X-Wing redeco. As we know, for the X-Wing helmets, it has synchronized lights and sound, so we definitely built that in for Carson Teva as well. So there's two scenes in here, as well as the iconic just general blaster effects, sound and effects. The first one is when he had the chase scene with the Mando, I think Mando Season 2,
yeah,
with the Razor Crest. So this one is flipped. We have Trapper Wolf and Mando in his ear, so that's amazing, with the synchronized lights and sounds. And the second scene as well is we have the second scene was with the the N1.
Yes, yeah, and Book of Boba Fett,
N1. So those are two key scenes that we saw him in. And of course, here's a look at the packaging for Mando themed. And again, he's been in so many, it was like hard to choose. We chose the Mando just because that was the first one that we saw him in, The Mandalorian. But we could have gone any which way.
Yeah, I love the blue here too. I think it's just such a nice shade of blue that really captures that feel of Carson Teva.
Yeah. All right, so those are reveals for today. We do have a couple of pipelines. So pipelines, as you guys all know, it is a further look down the line. So we're gonna go through the pipelines fairly quickly, but there's more info to come for the future. The first, we're gonna go through Vintage. We talked about Ahsoka. Ahsoka was amazing. It was such a great show for us. And they gave us some amazing moments, but one of the most amazing moments, I thought, it gave me chills, is a troop builder pack.
Yeah.
Captain Enoch and the Night Troopers. So that will be coming for Hasbro Pulse and Shop Disney. Continuing with Ahsoka, we saw the hero that they all went to save, Ezra Bridger,
We've seen this in the Black Series, and it is an absolutely phenomenal design, so it's great to be bringing this to the Ventures collection too.
Yeah, and that outfit that we saw from the hologram.
Yeah.
Related entertainment, so this one is obviously related to Ahsoka's Rebels. Coming out from Rebels Entertainment, we have Ezra, we have his mentor, Kanan. Kanan will be in his Season 1 outfit, so he will be different, quite different. And continuing it, we have Kanan, of course, we gotta round it out some more. We have Zeb, also from Season 1, so he will be different, quite different as well. More details to come in the future.
Yeah. It's great to see more of the Ghost Crew. Collection.
Yeah, we're just continuing to build out that world for us. Okay, moving on to Black Series. We started with the Vintage Troop Builder. We also have a Black Series Troop Builder now. So that was really important for us to continue that. I think there's some fans that have been requesting this. We're doing it a little bit differently for this pack for Black Series. It's actually different factions. So we have the Phase 2 Stormtrooper and the Battle Droid, and that would be a great Hasbro Pulse and Shop Disney pack as well.
Again, both iconic characters to the prequels, especially the Clone Wars animation too. So to see more Phase 2 clones in the line is great. And they need someone to battle against, so who better than the V1 Battle Droid?
It's a great way to troop build both sides.
Yeah.
Continuing with the prequels for Black Series, we have one more pipeline for the prequels. Darth.
Yeah, Sidious. There we go. I knew there would be some fans that love seeing Darth Sidious here today.
Yeah. And moving on for Black Series, one more pipeline. It's different entertainment. We're gonna go back. We have a publishing pack, Joris, Luke with two U's, and Mara Jade. This is going to be an exciting pack for fans, especially of the publishing from Heir of the Empire trilogy, the three books. So that would be climactic last scene if you guys see that screenshot over there. All right.
Amazing. Well, let's give it up for Jing and Black Series and Vintage Collection. May the force be with you. I think we have a few minutes here that we could take some questions. So please feel free. I think the mic is just down the way here toward the back.
Hello, my question is for the Star Wars team.
There we go.
Hi.
Hello. Considering how Anakin was extremely prominent in the Ahsoka series, I know you can't confirm anything, but considering everything, how, you know, what's the possibility of, you know, more of Hayden coming out in the Black Series?
You know what? I love Anakin. He's like my favorite character in all of Star Wars. Obviously, as you know, we can't talk about anything that hasn't been revealed, but I love requests, especially requests for Anakin, because he's one of my favorites. So just keep telling us, stop by the booth, let us know what you think. He obviously has such an amazing moment in Ahsoka. I would say, like, I loved the Ahsoka show. So I think that was, you know, it's something that we can always keep in our minds about the future.
Brilliant. Thank you so much.
To your point, too, just a quick question. There are three different versions of Anakin in that show, right?
Mm-hmm.
Which one would you like to see most?
Well, I'm glad you asked me this because, I would specifically say at the top it has to be Revenge of the Sith, considering the first book was released all the way back in 2014. And, the Clone Wars figure we have already from that Target exclusive wave is fantastic, but considering we have that proper face portrait now of Hayden, you know, I'm wondering if there'll be a possible, you know, re-release with that live-action head sculpt. So I would say those two, and, well, why not throw in the Force Ghosts as well?
Sounds good. Thank you for the feedback.
Thank you very much.
Noted.
All right.
Hi.
Hello.
So kind of building off the Star Wars Black Series that he mentioned, I was really curious, like, considering how the Ahsoka show went with, like, we finally got to see like a phase one, like live action Captain Rex. Can we, like, hopefully, I would love to see like a phase one Captain Rex for the Black Series, or like at least bringing back like a Captain Rex figure, because like he's impossible to find right now.
Yeah, noted. I mean,
fan favorite clone right
now. Yeah, Captain Rex. I mean, give it up for the Pulsecon reveal for the Captain Rex helmet. That thing was a beauty too. So yeah, we'll definitely keep that in mind. To your point, it was great to see that as well. We love that Ahsoka brought those back out. Like, brought Rebels, brought Clone Wars, brought Anakin, the clones, Captain Rex, to your point. As well as introducing us to all the new Night Troopers and Dathomir sisters. So I think it's no spoilers. It's been out, guys. You got to watch it if you haven't. It's amazing. So noted. I'm glad that we're getting requests like that.
Hi, mine's about the Black Series line. So obviously we all know, spoilers ahead, kind of, for the Ahsoka show, I've seen how many times they've used the new Ahsoka mold from The Mandalorian. Has there been any potential thought about a re-release of an Ahsoka the White in her new outfit?
That was a moment when
that
we
was
saw
a great
her.
Moment.
Yeah, yeah, that was quite a moment. Obviously, nothing is off the table. We can't talk about anything that hasn't been revealed. But again, like, I want to hear more about fans and what they request from the Ahsoka live action series, because that was, it's one of my favorites. It was amazing. It just wrapped. But yeah, thank you for requesting that, and we'll definitely keep that in mind.
Thank you very much.
Okay, I think that just about wraps us up. The team will be at the booth. That's S1200. But give it up one more time for Ryan, Ben, and Jing. Okay. Thank you, everybody.
For everything in one location, daily news, reviews, interviews, podcasts, video, and social media feeds, bookmark FanthaTracks.com for Star Wars news 24/7, 365.
A little while after the Hasbro panel, I had the chance to head back to the Hasbro booth and catch up with Jing to discuss what had just been revealed and also put to her some listeners' questions that Fantatrax readers had sent in.
Tell us a little bit about the reveals that you've made today and how excited you are for what's coming.
We are celebrating prequels next year, so that's a big chunk of it.
Yep.
I know some fans were connecting the dots. They're like, oh, look at that pipeline reveal. You're seeing a theme. What could that be? So it's good to officially announce it. There are fans that love prequels, and there are fans on the team that love prequels. We're very, very excited about that. That was a big chunk of it. We have it across Vintage, the Vintage Collection, and Black Series. Yep. So I thought both sides got a little love. So that was exciting to have there.
Got to say, your Black Series Anakin looked absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, he is so adorable. Yeah, we needed to get him out. So it was time, especially as part of the 25th beat, to have that there. So he was amazing, and we were very excited to get him out.
And it's a really good idea, actually, to celebrate all three in the 1 year, because now every year is a Star Wars anniversary year now, isn't it?
Everything. There's so many anniversaries coming. there's always anniversaries coming up for Star Wars, and I think that's what we love about it. Next year, we were like, let's hit them all. Let's do them all. So it makes a lot of sense for us to do that. So we obviously have some love from The Phantom Menace and then Attack of the Clones, Star Wars Attack of the Clones. So we get to do a little bit of each.
Brilliant. Now, some listeners' questions.
Yes.
So, first one's from John Balmond.
Okay.
The question is the Black Series archive line being discontinued? And he asks, if so, are there any future plans for re-releasing older figures with the updated face prints? I think he means the photo reel stuff.
Yeah.
Where are we with archive at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, as you know, at Hasbro PulseCon, we reveal some archive items. And so that for us is a little bit of a shift in strategy, as you know, where there it's not really carried in the US at the moment because we wanted the archive to be some more casual general items and bring in new fans globally. So that's something that we're doing with the archive at the moment. And I think like we don't know what the future holds. We're always adapting and understanding what the fans are telling us.
Yeah.
And whatever they tell us, we will keep in mind. We always like we have an ear to you know, against the internet, against our fan, you know, sites and all of those, you know, your site in general. Yeah. Just like just paying attention to the fans, what the fans are saying. So I wouldn't say like it's going away. I think it's for us to see what makes sense to do.
Okay, that makes good sense. He has another question. Have Hasbro considered troop builder packs for the Black Series like they've done for the Vintage Collection?
Yeah, so we are doing it a little bit differently. As you know, we pipelined it today. So instead of doing it the same way Vintage does, we do know that there were fans that requested Troop Builder packs for Black Series.
Yeah.
And they want that for Black Series. We want to give them for Black Series. It is a 2-pack instead of a 4-pack. Yeah. In terms of the actual execution, more to come. Like, I know fans are going to ask about what's the packaging, you know, and everything along those lines. So we'll definitely share more when the time is right. But we just wanted to get fans a little excited that we are doing that. We heard that request. And we're doing it a little differently instead of, like, you know, how Vintage does it right now.
Yeah.
We're doing for Black Series. They're two different packs. They're two sides, right?
Yeah.
So you can build both sides at the same time. And I think that's a great way to do that. Those classic troopers, get them both up at the same time and really army build that way.
Yeah, that is a good idea. And I love the packaging you do for the Vintage Collection.
Yes.
So if it's anything like that for Black Series, that would be very cool.
Okay.
Robert Calderon has a couple of questions. Are you ever going to add more Star Wars bodies to the selfie series, especially Jedi bodies? So you've got that really cool selfie series.
Uh-huh.
Obviously, there's loads of options for different things, but are there other ideas to add different bodies that you can add your faces to?
Yeah, I mean, for the selfie series, I'm glad that, you know, fans have taken to it. I think I loved it myself when I got my first selfie last year. I forget, the years blur for me. But my daughter would take it and play with it and like, this is mommy.
Yeah.
And I'm like, this is amazing. Like, this touches my heart. I'm teaching her at the young age, and she's so cute. And she's like, Chewbacca. It's like so cute. In terms of what is to come for selfie buddies, I think more, you know, like, stay tuned to Hasbro Pulse. And I think there is a Hasbro Pulse representative here that could answer more questions about selfie in general. So I know we, you know, talked about selfie at Hasbro PulseCon.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's good to know what fans are asking for and what specific bodies they think make sense. And I think that's always conversation with Hasbro Pulse.
Brilliant. Are there any more plans for more Black Series creatures?
Black Series, what creatures are, he did not specify.
He mentioned, he says we've got a re-release of the Wampa. Perhaps he's hypothesizing maybe a Jubak or one of the other creatures of that size. So I guess like a Reek or Acklays are a bit big, but you know, that sort of size of creature, Nexus, that sort of scale.
Yeah, I love that Star Wars gave us a lot of creatures. And obviously the Wampa was a fun one as well. I think we will keep in mind, especially if there are requests coming down the line, because we do pay attention. There's a Reddit thread for Black Series, for example. If there are specific items that the fans really want to see, let us know.
Yeah, you made that very clear in the talk, and as we're talking, that you are paying attention and looking at what people are saying. Is that a constant thing that you guys are always watching out
constantly
for suggestions or wants?
Yes.
Or
absolutely. Our design team could not be here today. Everyone knows them. Chris, Rife, Emily Cantaloupe, Eric Rainer. They are so passionate about the Star Wars entire world, right? So they're living and breathing the content. They're living and breathing their items, their figures, and they're living and breathing fan reactions to them as well. So they're sending me screenshots. Like, if I don't get to it, they're like, Jane, did you see this? Like, they are so on top of it. We are definitely paying attention. And I think Count Dooku is a good example of that. He won the fan vote, right? And we're like, it's a perfect time to get that out for the fans as well. So yes, we pay attention. Lots of sites, lots of comments to come through. And we want to do what makes sense. Yeah.
Brilliant. That's good to hear. That is really good to hear. One more question from Robert. What happened to the Crate Luke Black Series figure? It was announced as a pipeline but never came through. Is there any plans for that to come out in the future?
I would say if pipelines are sometimes really early sneaks into an item. So it's definitely something like if we pipeline it where there's more information to come, and then when that information comes, we will share.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Got a question from Des Thompson. He'd be interested to know if the second wave of Return of the Jedi retro collection figures will become available again, because he's sure there's plenty of people who'd like a set and they went like hotcakes.
Oh, yes. Yeah. You know what? When they go, I like hotcakes. It gives us information too, and it's good to hear. I would say in terms of availability, we have to check with like Hasbro Pulse, for example, and see what they have. But if there's like demand for that, it's just always helpful to know, especially those packs. Like it was so popular. It's, you know, in Return of the Jedi this year was obviously a big beat for us. Yeah. So we'll keep that in mind.
Hi, this is Vivian Lyra Blair, and you're listening to Fanthatrax.
Jason Thornton Saumby has a question. Why is the retro collection never, almost never, part of the big online Hasbro event? So retro is really, people are loving it.
Yeah.
It's going over gangbusters. It never seems to be quite up there with Black Series and Vintage. Is it because it's a fairly new expression? Is it because, is there a strategic reason for that? Why is that?
No, I think, you know, we reveal things as it makes sense. We've revealed retro items before. Like Ahsoka was revealed in the Ahsoka live stream in August, for example. And I'm pretty sure we've had retro reveals at like San Diego Comic-Con in the past, like some of those big events. So it's not never. It's just like what news makes sense for that moment.
Yeah.
What makes sense that we have to talk about before like they start showing up on shelf, for example.
Yeah.
So there's a lot to kind of balance there. If there's retro news that makes sense, we'll absolutely talk about it. And obviously show some love to the Vintage collection and the Black Series and premium roleplay too, like where it makes sense. Yeah.
Question from me, has there ever been any consideration for doing a retro Millennium Falcon or a mini rig run? Has that ever been a thought?
So for retro, actually I got an question earlier today while I was standing at the booth. They're like, would we do retro vehicles? I think in general, like if there's a huge demand for it, like we want to hear about it.
Yeah.
If there's specific items, we want to hear about it. How are the vintage, you know, items hitting with the fans now?
Yeah.
We keep an eye on that as well. So it's not to say never. I think it's everything is like always a possibility. We just always want to keep an open eye on like what the demand is for all of our items.
And a question for me, where do you pitch the balance between action and colourful and very toyetic figures and then getting a line out for something like Andor, which, bless it, isn't the most colourful or toyetic line? There's kids who want to play and there's collectors who want to collect. Where do you find the balance between the two?
Yeah, it's a great question. And it's a balance that we're always trying, and we learn with every iteration, with every entertainment that comes out. Like Andor was such a fan favorite. Rogue One was such a fan favorite, and it continues to be an amazing entertainment, right? So we will balance that in terms of, like, to your point, does the figure look exciting? Yeah. How do we make the figure exciting? Is there story behind it? Is there world building behind it? Are the fans, you know, willing, like, excited to collect this? Will fans or casual fans be excited to catch that on shelf? And we're learning. We're always learning. So it's we'll keep an eye on terms of, like, how it's performing and how fans are reacting to it and try to do right by the line in that way. So we'll see, especially with, you know, Disney and Lucasfilm constantly comes out with new entertainment. We're excited to see, like, how we lean in with each one that comes out.
And when you release a figure, often a figure will come out in vintage and then it'll come out in Black Series. How do you determine which version comes out first?
Yeah. It's a good question. They're both lines are true, near and dear to our heart. Yeah. They're also different in a lot of ways, right? Vintage has a lot of people that want, like, the classic as well. So we don't want to forget about that. So we've pipelined some, like, a main that, like, I think was at San Diego Comic-Con, for example. I think it was PulseCon, Hasbro PulseCon, we pipeline something. We always keep that in mind in terms of what each community is especially asking for, and then what the exciting new entertainment is and how we should make figures according to that as well. So we balance it. You know, like I mentioned, our designers, they're huge fans, and they're embedded in the community. They're listening closely, and they're trying to make that same decision with the information we have and bring out the figures when they make sense.
And do you see them as two distinct communities, Black Series and Vintage, or do you consider it all one big happy family?
Yeah, we are one big Star Wars family, but we also know that there are people who collect exclusively Vintage and collect exclusively Black Series, and, you know, there's times when, there's some that collect both, which is amazing. Thank you. And there's so many passionate fans across the two. So our designers also, they, like, pay attention to both. But there is specific needs for each specific community. And we keep in mind those specific needs. It's not one size fits all. We know that. And so we do that as well. We keep that in mind when we build out our line.
Brilliant. And one final question before I let you go. How are you enjoying London?
I love London. Everyone here is so sweet. I missed Celebration earlier this year. It was so sad to miss it. So I'm glad to be here now. I wish I could see more of the city, but everyone is so friendly. And it's a great convention to be at. So it's great to be here.
And just remember, not everybody gets down on one knee for you. So.
You're so nice for doing that. You are so nice. But I can speak to you. I die.
Thank you again.
Thank you so much.
Our final conversation of the day was with Alex Shropshire from Hasbro Pulse, where we discussed the current state of Pulse and what might be in the future.
So we're here at MCM Comic Con London. I'm here with Alex from Hasbro Pulse.
Hello.
And we've got loads of questions to get through, talking about all sorts of stuff. But first things first, it's the Saturday of MCM.
It is.
It's mental, it's red hot. But how's it going for you?
I mean, I'm having a fantastic time. I love these events. They are probably one of the best parts of the job.
Yeah.
I mean, when you work for a toy company, it's already pretty up there. But so often we are stuck in an office or behind a computer or living in that virtual world.
Yes.
So being able to actually see someone face to face is always wonderful. And then actually when they are coming up and just have that real love of what we are doing with the products that we have, it just adds another layer, and it sort of gives you that momentum to go back to the office and try again and always try and do things even better the next time. So
Monday morning is going to feel good.
I think Monday morning, I think my wife wants me to have a nap. But come Tuesday, let's reset and we'll go again. Yes.
That sounds reasonable. Yeah. Okay, so we had some questions from our listeners and readers at FanthaTrax.
Wonderful.
And I've selected a scattering of those questions. So first one, the selfie series. Seems to have done really well in the States.
Yes.
Is there any opportunity or possibility of it coming to Europe?
At this stage, unfortunately, it's not something that we're going to be doing immediately now. Selfie series as a project is something that's being, you know, worked on and assessed. But for us at the moment, it's not part of our immediate roadmap plans. What it means in the future, I can't say. But for now, it's not on our roadmap.
question about European pricing from a friend of ours in Germany.
Yes.
He's noticed that compared to the rest of Europe and certainly to the UK, the German prices are more expensive. Mm-hmm. Is there a reason for that? Is it market forces? Is it global currencies? Is there an answer to that question?
There may be, but unfortunately it's not one that I would actually have the answer to. So as Hasbro Pulse, we follow the recommended retail prices that are provided by the Hasbro business. So those prices are set by our teams there and provided to us. So in terms of the nuance there, I actually don't have an answer for you.
Are you looking to partner up with other outlets as you are with, for example, Shop Disney? Is there opportunity to do that globally, internationally, European, wherever?
In terms of a direct answer, I don't know. I think as we look at where we go and how partnerships can evolve, I see no reason that we shouldn't be looking to explore every opportunity and avenue we can to ultimately drive as much excitement as possible on our products. What that means and what that can do in terms of whether it's physical, virtual, how that works, I don't have an answer, but it's absolutely something that's really interesting and something that I would like to look into.
Because Hasbro Pulse to an outsider feels like a specific destination, so teaming up with another outlet, if you like, seemed not counterintuitive, but I was quite surprised. So how do you view Pulse as an entity and in the sense that it can partner up with Disney? Of course, Disney's a great example. They've got the parks, so that makes all the sense.
They do, and obviously this falls down to, you know, global partnerships and strategy, which is you know, at a much different level of conversation where that happens. I think often as I look at partnerships and things as we build, it doesn't always necessarily need to be a commercial retail partnership. Yeah. I think that's where my head more goes to in terms of what can we do in the space where we can partner with other parties who are as excited and engaged and driven with our brands, not necessarily in a retail guise, but more in terms of, you know, they're creating experiences. How can we work with them to make those experiences a level up? You know, at the event here, you may have seen on the back of our stand, we've partnered with a team from Merwells, who are these amazing graffiti street artists, and they create this sensational artwork, and by partnering with them, we've managed to sort of elevate the stand for the experience we're doing, but also, you know, work with them to give more presence. And you know, we had earlier today, we had a couple of kids coming up and actually working on the artwork with them, and those kind of experiences and those kind of partnerships, that to me is where we should be driving as hard as we can. So the Shop Disney Pulse retail piece, that's sort of a global in terms of product strategy. For me, my aim is much more around how can we create the best experiences for fans, whether that be in the virtual world through the website and how we build that and how we grow that, whether it's through the social channels and how we communicate those through the virtual events like PulseCon, or through my favorite, which is these events here where my legs get tired and my voice goes hoarse, but I also have a lot of fun.
Brilliant. You're very welcome to partner up with Fantatracks. We'd be very open to
anytime.
When you choose, or when Pulse chooses a Pulse exclusive, what are the criteria that you're looking for that would determine that that is a Pulse exclusive? How does that get chosen?
That is a very, very specific, probably product development question that sits more with the global brand design team. Obviously, the way, you know, we build range quite far in advance, and often there's a lot of input and output, and it's a partnership that happens globally through the US through our partners there, but it's really just a range build. Like, how can we build out that range to provide the best experience of the best product? And that's really it. It comes down to, as we assess it all, what makes the most sense? How can we drive it? And then we try and make it happen.
How far away is Pulse from being completely global? Because you've got the States, you've got Europe, you're working your way across the globe. What's left? The moon?
I mean, you sound like my boss. You know, what's next, Alex? What's next? So ultimately the aim for us is, as I've said, to bring what we can, the best experience to fans wherever we possibly can. As you will have seen, this year we've had some heavy focus on expansion, right? We're now across all 27 European Union countries. We've launched into the Asia markets, which is really exciting for us. And obviously we don't want to stop there. We do want to continue that expansion, but we have to make sure we're doing it in the right way. We can't just rush these things out, and we've got to make sure that ultimately we're building something that is stable and going to work for the fans in whatever market we do. So watch this space is one of those, you know, PR-trained answers that you're given, but honestly, Watch This Space is probably the best one I've got.
And final question, and not asking for any details or anything, but I'm assuming that Pulse, as an entity again, has plans to do more things, bigger things, different things. How far down the road do you look at these plans when you're trying to roll these things out?
I think last night I had a dream and I might have been around retired and I was still thinking about plans that we could do with Pulse. So in all honesty, there is no real timeline of what we do. Some of these projects are years in the making. Yeah. And some of them, it comes up today and we're trying to activate it by tomorrow. Yeah. So honestly, it's such a wide spectrum and it depends on the partnership, depends on the project. But we also work closely and, you know, I think had some conversations with yourself and other partners today in terms of how we can also get better at building some of those things, and because we don't want to just exist within our own our own knowledge set. There's so much more knowledge out there, so much more ideas. Yeah. So by partnering that, we're actually going to be in a better position to as I say again, really deliver something for the fans that they want, which I think is my goal. My goal and our goal.
That's a good goal.
Yeah, it is a good goal. Yes.
Thanks for your time.
Thank you very much for having me.
So thanks for listening to Collecting Tracks. If you want to be part of the action, stay updated on all the latest Star Wars news, visit fantatracks.com or check out the free Fantatracks app through the App Store to follow us on your mobile device. You can reach out to us and send in your listeners' questions by emailing radio@fantatracks.com. Comment, like and share on any of our social media feeds @Fantatracks, and be sure to subscribe, leave a review, preferably a 5-star one, on Amazon Music, Audible, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or your podcatcher or smart speaker of choice. And as always, thanks to James Semple for composing the Fantatracks intro, Andy Lyth for our Collecting Tracks open music, and Mark Daniel and Vanessa Marshall for our voiceovers. Remember to tune in to Good Morning Tatooine, live Sunday evenings at 9 p.m. UK time, 4 p.m. Eastern and 1 p.m. Pacific on Facebook and YouTube. Check out Fantatracks Radio Friday evenings at 7 p.m. UK time for new episodes of The Fanta from Down Under, Planet Leia, Desert Planet Discs, Start Your Engines, Collecting Tracks and Cannon Fodder, and every Tuesday at 7 p.m. UK time for your weekly episode of Making Tracks.
Coming up next on Fantatracks Radio, it's Making Tracks.